Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, a 30-16 loss to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field, a tough one for the Packers to swallow. Beaten by the better team, I think there's no question about that. If there's one thing that bothered Mike McCarthy more than anything else about how this game unfolded, it was the turnovers. The Packers turning the ball over four times on offense. A couple of other times the ball was on the ground and they didn't turn it over. But the sloppy ball handling, sloppy ball security is not the Packers' way, and that's got to get corrected.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike McCarthy mentioned it too. One of the staples of his program over the last 10 years has been not only the ball security, as you had just addressed, but really winning that takeover differential. Packers -3 right now through the first five games. As Mike McCarthy mentioned, that just typically hasn't been their way, and you're not going to be able to win consistently when you do that. So it is a mixture of not being able to take the ball away from the opposing offense and also offensively putting it on the ground too often, or with the one interception also for the Packers. So this is a little interesting situation the Packers find themselves in, because they've lost to two really good teams in Minnesota and Dallas. And it's been a test. I think you and I have talked about it. The strength of schedule, what people made of it at the beginning of the season, isn't how it's played out. There's been some really difficult teams the Packers have had to face here early on. And certainly going up against Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, they didn't have a lot of room for error.
Yeah, the defense was able to get two takeaways with a strip sack of Prescott and then the first career interception of Prescott there. But I think the frustrating part of it, as far as the way the game played out, is that for everything that had gone wrong in two and a half quarters in this game, the Packers had two prime opportunities in the second half to get back in the game and get back within a score. The score is 20-6. A touchdown makes it 20-13. They have first and goal on the 1 yard line. Rodgers fumbles the ball on an attempted quarterback draw. Then they get the interception of Prescott right after that. They have the ball in the 16-yard line, another opportunity to make it 20-13. They stall out, three and out, and have to kick a field goal. It's 20-9. It's still a two-score game. And then things just kind of unraveled after that.
They did. And obviously it's not the recipe for success when you come out. They did actually, you know, set the tempo really well coming out of halftime, being able to drive the ball the way they did, but not being able to finish that drive and fumbling it, obviously, when you're on the right on the cusp of the goal line, certainly can be demoralizing for an offense. And now when you look throughout the course of the game, as I sort of mentioned, you look at what Elliott does and how Prescott and the way he operates in that offense, it actually probably said a lot that the Packers were able to get two turnovers off of him, but -2 in the game for the, you know, that differential, you're just not going to be able to overcome it. And as Mike McCarthy said in his post-game news conference, he doesn't know if there's any game he's ever won where you've turned over the ball four times, and certainly this didn't go the Packers' way.
Yeah, and the Packers' defense, you know, took one on the chin. I mean, for as well as they had played, it didn't help that, you know, on Saturday in practice, they lose Quentin Rollins to a groin injury, and then early in the ball game, you lose Demarius Randall. He re-injures the groin that had held him out of the game against the Giants. So suddenly you're down your top three cornerbacks without Sam Shields, you know, back from his concussion yet. And so your number four cornerback is suddenly your number one on the depth chart. And then your number two, number one being Ladarius Gunter, and had his rough moments, make no mistake about it. Then your number two suddenly is Demetri Goodson, who hasn't played all year and was suspended for the first four games and has to get thrown in there. And you're trying to stop a very balanced offense that runs the ball, that has a really savvy rookie quarterback. And as I say, when the Packers offense was not able to get back within one score, that really put the defense in a tough spot.
Yeah, and starting with that secondary, Mike, that's really the toughest thing, is they found themselves once again for the second consecutive week really with one position, one player of really getting out of a position group.
And yeah,
for cornerback, how important it is in Dom Capers' defense. We're talking about, you know, these guys often operating in an island and having to win their one-on-one matchup. And that you lose Shields, you've weathered that. You lose Randall last week, you weathered that. Losing Q the night before the day before the game,
yeah,
and then obviously Randall re-injuring that groin, that's really tough odds to overcome. And Goodson comes in, plays 36 snaps after not playing for the past month.
Yeah, hadn't played all year.
It's going to be tough, and certainly when you look at Elliott, I'm looking forward to the defense that stops him this year because I think it's going to be tough. Four consecutive games now of 130 rushing yards. That young man is well on his way to Offensive Rookie of the Year honors, and it looks like the Dallas Cowboys got themselves a good one.
Yeah, they as you mentioned, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott were as advertised. You could see in that game when the Packers looked like, you know, when it looked like a running formation, a lot of times the Cowboys were play action and throwing out of it. When they're in a throwing formation, they look at the defense and run the ball. They just they have that kind of balance. But then there are times when it's third and one, and they're going to take what they want and move the chain. So, plenty more to talk about here. Packers Cowboys in the aftermath. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we talked about the injuries in the defensive backfield for the Packers, but injuries in the offensive backfield as well, with James Starks missing this game and Eddie Lacy out there on a bum ankle that's all taped up and whatnot. And to Lacy's credit, he gutted it out, 17 carries for 65 yards, gave the Packers some balance offensively with the running game. But now you wonder, on a short week with a game coming up right away on Thursday and Lacy just having run the ball 17 times on a bad ankle, how quickly can he bounce back, and is he going to be able to do the same thing on Thursday night against the Bears? A tough situation for the Packers at that position.
Yeah, first and foremost, Mike, again, and I don't typically wear hats, but I mean, you have to tip your cap to Eddie Lacy for that performance. Particularly, I mean, you look at that 25-yard carry he had early in the game. Mm-hmm. Basically, that was all sure will. I mean, he wasn't 100% by any means, and being able to not only break through and find the holes, but also to be able to prolong those carries, I thought really said a lot about him.
Well, he's hurtling guys, jumping. Yeah. And he jumped over top of three or four potential tacklers and really played without a care for his ankle, and we've seen him do that in the past, you know, earlier in his career, and he really took the same approach on Sunday afternoon.
He did, and T.J. Lang talked about that a little bit after the game, saying, I mean, they all knew what he was dealing with. They knew how badly he was hurting with that ankle. It didn't matter, though. He went out there and really, really gutted one out, considering the Packers the night before, you know, declaring James Starks out with this knee injury. And it is a difficult position they find themselves in, because while Lacy has played through ankle injuries in the past, as you said, now you get that quick turnaround with the Bears. And, you know, Ty Montgomery handled some snaps there. Certainly, you know, Randall Cobb's been used in that capacity. Aaron Ripkowski is a fullback. So I don't know exactly which direction they proceed here, but certainly they find themselves in a little bit of a pickle with where they are in their running backs.
Yeah, and it seemed that the counter for being shorthanded in the backfield was the return, I guess, after a handful of years of the big five wide receivers, shotgun, you know, the offense spreading them out. Sometimes it was four wide receivers, then the fifth wide receiver was Montgomery in the backfield. And, you know, Ty Montgomery gave the offense at least a little bit of a spark for all the fits and starts and the struggles here and there. 10 catches for 98 yards, unfortunately had a fumble at the end of the game, which kind of just epitomized the offense's day in general. But Montgomery, not to say he can be a number two running back behind Eddie Lacy on Thursday night, but what he provided with, I would say, maybe 50-50 in terms of his catches being out of the backfield versus also lining up out wide, a versatile weapon that maybe we start to see a little bit more of here as 2016 rolls along.
Yeah, Mike, and first thing I have to say is I do agree with Mike McCarthy. I think he talked about, you know, he was pleased with the production they got out of those, you know, spread sets and four or five receivers. All things considered, I thought that was the appropriate adjustment with not having another traditional running back on the active roster. For Montgomery's point, week six of this year, one full year after the ankle injury in week six of last year against the San Diego Chargers, and I thought that was the first time we've really seen him get back to the player I think the Packers think he can be in terms of a multi, you know, dual threat that can hurt you in a number of different ways. He looked confident. He looked strong. And certainly 10 catches, a team high, a career high, came into this game. I believe it was only 17 offensive snaps on the year. When the Packers had to turn to him, he responded. Now, in the locker room, a little bit of a sour taste in his mouth with that fumble.
Yep.
One thing that I'm sure they'll be working on to correct. But being able to get that spark is just one more weapon for this offense to eventually find itself. And I thought that was really a positive sign for Montgomery to be able to get the momentum going and really be that accountable and reliable when the Packers really desperately needed to turn to him.
Yeah, I think so. And we saw some yards after the catch from him. The kickoff return had a nice moment there on special teams. Good for Ty Montgomery with what he went through last year with the ankle injury and trying to come back in practice and whatnot and then getting shut down and needing to have surgery. Maybe now we're just starting to see Ty Montgomery back to full health and able to contribute here. And I think it could be big for the Packers offense. But the other thing that was unfortunate, we saw Jordy Nelson catch a pass early and fumble the ball. And then Jordy Nelson somewhat disappeared in this game offensively until he got some catches later in the game. And this passing offense just can't really absorb that, in a sense, to have its number one receiver taken out by the opposition like that. And I'm sure Jordy Nelson, he didn't like the way he played against the Giants, and he's another guy looking for a bounce back game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think too, there was a couple of years ago that I thought there were some real questions about Dallas and their secondary, and I think they've answered those. I mean, you've seen Maurice Claiborne step up the way he did. I think Barry Church has turned into a really nice safety in this league. The big thing, like Jordy said after the game, he caught the ball, and then he fumbled the ball. It sort of was as simple as that. They did a really nice move to pop it out, and, that was one of the early tides that sort of shifted in that game. And now for him, it really is going to be about trying to have a short memory and coming to bounce back, because the Green Bay Packers need him and this offense needs him to get where it wants to go.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of a short memory type of week for everybody, because the more you spend this week with a game on Thursday night, the more time you spend worrying about what happened against Dallas is less time you're spending preparing for the Chicago Bears. And the Bears are 1-5 and they're struggling. The headlines out of Chicago are they are at rock bottom right now. And they're going to come in Thursday night to Lambeau Field with nothing to lose.
Absolutely. And Vic Fangio's defense for the past year and a half, I don't know if Chicago's the most talented defense in the world, but he finds a way to make it work. And they are not going to it will not be easy on the Packers in this offense. Even though they are 1-4, Fangio's going to have that defense ready to play.
Yeah, a quick turnaround needed here by the Packers. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, as we talked about, the Packers need a quick turnaround here with a game against the Bears on Thursday night. At the end of the day, the game Thursday night is a chance for the Packers to get to 4-2. That's really the only way you can look at it. The loss to the Cowboys doesn't sit well. The Packers did not want to pick up their second loss at this point. But when you look at the big picture in the NFC, the Vikings are undefeated, and there are only two other teams with one loss, those being the Seahawks and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Everybody else, excuse me, in the NFC has two or more losses now. So even though this loss doesn't feel good for the Packers, it doesn't sit well at all. Everything is still right in front of them. If you can get to 4-2 on Thursday night, you've got a little bit of extra time to gear up for a big trip to Atlanta, another two-loss team that just lost a tough one on Sunday afternoon as well. And it's just, hey, get another win and stay right in the thick of this thing.
Yeah, here's the biggest key. Whether the Packers won this game by 50 or lost it by 14 like they did, you couldn't think for long about this Cowboys game. That's the reality of these Thursday night football games. So whether it was a positive, whether it was an area for improvement, you had to turn the page. Now, if anything, I think as Micah Hyde kind of illustrated after the game, this sort of forces the Packers to flush it quickly and refocus. I mean, they'll have plenty of time to make the corrections between the Bears game and going to Atlanta. They'll have a week and a half, that mini bye, as they like to say.
Right.
So you need to focus on the Bears, because it will be easier to focus on corrections after a win than it is to then try to figure out yourself after two consecutive losses. Now, the Packers last year Thanksgiving, it was a very strange game, you know, with the wind conditions and the rain, and it was November, and it was odd.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the temperatures are like. We'll see what the conditions are like. But the biggest thing is, the way that Brian Hoyer is focusing right now with this offense, the Bears are doing some positive things. The record doesn't show it, but, I mean, they cannot be taken lightly, and I think everybody understands it's all about Chicago now.
Yeah, and the Bears are frustrated they let one get away against Jacksonville on Sunday. They had, I believe it was a 10-0 lead at halftime, their defense completely shutting down Jacksonville's offense, but then their offense just not able to punch in touchdowns when they got close and had opportunities to score points. They got stuck on 16 and then lost the game 17-16 on a late touchdown, and then also weren't able to get in position for a field goal at the end. It's a game that the Bears felt they should have won. And it, as much as, you know, Packer fans right now are going to think, oh, well, how can the Packers even win any game after the way they just performed against the Cowboys? You and I talk about this all the time. We talked about it again in the press box before the Packers-Cowboys game. It's a week-to-week league.
Week-to-week.
Look at the Detroit Lions. They lost to the Chicago Bears, which is the Bears' only victory of the season. And Detroit, I mean, the sky is falling in Detroit. It's all over. Then they beat a 3-0 Philadelphia team, and now they just beat a 3-2 Los Angeles Rams team, and the Lions are suddenly 3-3 with two big home wins, and you know, have as much momentum as any team in the NFC right now. So it really is a week-to-week league, and in this case, it's a short week-to-week league for the Packers.
Yeah, no question. And here's the other thing, too, and this is what always happens. I mean, it's the beautiful thing about the National Football League, the game of football in general, is it's any given Sunday. It's that one game. You have to do everything right on that day because that's what you're working towards. But it also leads to a lot of overanalysis in those other 6 days of the week in terms of what's wrong, what do they have to do differently. One game changes things very quickly, and you go back to what the Packers did, particularly in that first half against the Detroit Lions. There were a lot of positives on both sides of the ball, and special teams for that matter. Those are the things you need to focus on. As Julius Peppers talked about afterwards, it's very easy to get negative. You have to have a positive mindset. That's what they're going to take going forward. They know how good they are. They know how good they can be, and even if they didn't necessarily show it in those four quarters against Dallas, it doesn't change the fact of what they believe, and that's that this is a playoff-caliber team and a team that expects to be in this thing late into January and February.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers was asked after the game if he thought there'd be any shaken confidence in the locker room, and he flat-out said no, he didn't think so. He doesn't think it's going to be about confidence being shaken. It's going to be about how you respond to adversity, and that's always been a theme with any NFL team. When the times get tough, when the adversity strikes, how do you respond? And this is going to be a big test for the Packers to respond on a short week against a division opponent, and a division opponent that is hit rock bottom and is literally trying to save its season.
Absolutely, and certainly when you look from the Packers' perspective too, people were asking me yesterday, was this a must-win situation? I didn't look at it like that, but it would be nice to win. But the bigger thing is to keep building and keep improving, because they want to be their best play and their best football in December, and this one game doesn't change that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we throw it to our final break, we'll take care of a little sponsor business, Wes. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, let's touch briefly on the halftime ceremony. Brett Favre receiving his Hall of Fame ring inside Lambeau Field, and always a special moment when that guy comes back into the building, and now he has his name in two places on the Lambeau Field facade: the retired number in the north end zone, and now his name in years amongst the other Pro Football Hall of Famers in Green Bay history.
No question, and you look at what he did in his career, and obviously the imprint that he left on the Packers organization. I mean, you could talk for hours in terms of what he meant. But he did say as many times as he came out of that tunnel, whether it was the home tunnel, the old home tunnel, the new home tunnel,
yeah.
or even the visiting tunnel, he did take a lot of time to look around Lambeau Field. There was a lot of times where he would look and see Reggie's name and Don Hudson and you know, Paul Horning and obviously Bart Starr. And he never quite saw himself in that same category. Three MVPs, everything he did, he still didn't see him as one of the greats. And he said it was a little surreal, not only last year seeing his number four retired, but seeing that curtain come down on his name and that ring of champions and all the Hall of Famers that the Packers have. It was something that you could definitely tell was an emotional moment for him.
Yeah, it's he's joked about, you know, how he's been honored so many multiple times now over the last year, and you know, he doesn't want to take any of those moments for granted. He also joked about maybe not necessarily being a jacket guy, but that you have to admit that gold jacket, it's wearing pretty well on him.
He did. He joked that he, because people ask him if he wears the jacket around much, he's like, "Oh yeah, I wear it to my daughter's volleyball game." He's like, well, obviously that's a joke, that she'd be really upset with him if he actually did that. But it's just the way things are. And after 20 NFL seasons, now he's had a lot of time to finally reflect on his career and what he accomplished. He said numerous times he doesn't have any regrets. And I thought it was really key, too. He mentioned they've moved on. They've gotten back to this place of reconciliation, and that's a happy place for him. He's glad to be there, and he's also enjoying fatherhood, too, with his daughter getting ready to go off to college next year and play volleyball at Southern Miss. So
okay.
Continuing the Favre name there as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So she's off to Southern Mississippi, the dad's alma mater. Huh?
She's representing. He also said it's close to home, too. So that actually that adds a little bit to it as well, that she doesn't have to go too far away.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted, and we'll definitely preview this Bears game because it's going to be on us sooner than we think. But with that, on Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. The team Twitter account is at Packers. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.